Welcome to the debut of Apple II Time Slice. I'm Steve Weirich. Over 30 years ago, I started documenting the history of the Apple II. That history is still available online at appletwohistory.org and in a hardcover book available through that website. On this podcast, I plan to retell some of the stories that made this platform a favorite for millions. Every 1 to 2 weeks, we'll spend 5 minutes exploring the people, the hardware, and the ecosystem that define Apple's contribution to the 8-bit era. Apple Computer turns 50 on April 1st, 2026. On that day in 1976, three men signed the partnership agreement that created the company in California: Steve Wozniak, Steve Jobs, and Ron Wayne. Wozniak was the hardware engineer. Jobs was the visionary who believed personal computers could become a real industry. Wayne, a former aerospace engineer and an Atari employee, had experience with business and legal matters. They divided ownership of the new company so that Jobs and Wozniak each held 45%, while Wayne held the remaining 10%. But Wayne did not stay long. Just 12 days later, he decided the financial risk was too great. Jobs was willing to take out loans to get the company started, even though there was no clear plan yet for paying them back. Wayne, who was older and had already experienced a failed business, decided he did not want to take that risk. So he sold his 10% share back to Jobs and Wozniak for $800. In later years, that decision would become famous as one of the most expensive missed opportunities in business history. But at the time, Wayne's caution was perfectly reasonable. So how did these three very different people end up starting a computer company? The technical genius behind Apple's first computer was Steve Wozniak. Since high school, Wozniak had wanted to own his own computer. In the late 1960s and early 1970s, that was almost impossible for an individual. Computers were huge machines owned by universities and corporations. So Wozniak designed them on paper and built small experimental projects wherever he could. At the first college he attended, he got into trouble with the administration for what they called computer abuse, after using 5 times the department's allotted budget on the computer available for their Fortran class. In the early 1970s, a new technology began to appear, the microprocessor. An entire computer processor could now be built onto a single chip, making it possible to imagine a computer small enough and cheap enough for an individual to own. After attending meetings of the Homebrew Computer Club in Silicon Valley, Wozniak began designing a computer that used one of these chips while requiring as few components as possible. The popular Intel 8080 processor was still too expensive for him, as was the Motorola 6800. But Wozniak discovered a new chip from MOS Technology called the 6502. It was dramatically cheaper, and it became the heart of his design. One of the people who became excited about Wozniak's computer was Steve Jobs. Jobs and Wozniak had known each other since 1971, when a mutual friend introduced them. Although Wozniak was in college and Jobs was still in high school, they quickly bonded over electronics and a shared sense of mischief. One of their early collaborations was something called a blue box. Designed by Wozniak, it could reproduce special tones used by the telephone system, allowing long-distance calls to be made for free. The two built and sold about 100 of these devices and made a little profit. Later, Wozniak went to work at Hewlett-Packard, while Jobs found employment at the young video game company Atari. Around this same time, Wozniak was demonstrating progress on his new single-board computer at meetings of the Homebrew Computer Club. To Wozniak, it was simply an interesting engineering project, and he was happy to share the design freely with anyone who wanted it. Jobs saw something very different. He saw a product. Compared with machines like the Altair and other early microcomputers, Wozniak's design was far easier to use. It could connect directly to a standard television and keyboard, eliminating the need for expensive teletype equipment. And it included a small program in read-only memory that allowed users to begin typing programs immediately after turning it on. Jobs convinced Wozniak that they should try selling it. Jobs approached Paul Terrell, who owned a retail computer store called the Byte Shop. Terrell agreed to sell the machine, but only if they could deliver 50 fully assembled computers. That was a huge challenge. The two had almost no money. With some effort, they managed to raise enough funds to have circuit boards manufactured and to buy the components needed to assemble the machines. Friends and family helped with the work, including Jobs' sister, his friend Dan Kotke, and Wozniak's friend Alan Baum. While all of this was happening, Jobs and Wozniak also debated the idea of intellectual property. Wozniak believed in sharing everything openly. Jobs believed the company needed to keep certain ideas private. Ron Wayne helped settle that disagreement. He also used his expertise with business law to write the partnership agreement that officially created the Apple Computer Company. He designed a beautiful, though complex, logo for the Apple I computer and wrote the first manual for it. As mentioned earlier, Wayne did not stay a partner for long. but the small partnership he helped create would grow into one of the most influential technology companies in history. And it all started with a simple circuit board, a $25 microprocessor, and two friends who believed personal computers could change the world. I'm Steve Weirich, and this has been Apple II Time Slice.